Welcome in, everybody. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Louis DiBiase joining you as always. Today we got an exciting show. Voluntary OTAs are up and away. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you are eating up the play-by-play of all the guys in the shorts and in the helmets. It's great to see your favorites back out on the field. Carson Wentz completely healthy. Seeing DeSean Jackson back on the field, and he's rocking a visor. Look good, play good mentality. On point, part of my brand. It's just cool to see the different cornerback combinations they have right now. It was Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones on the outside today with Avante Maddox in the slot. I wish it's not going to happen because of Mills and Darby, but I really wish that that was going to be the combination going into the season. But it's also cool why I like OTAs, why I like training camp, is I really like to evaluate the depth of the roster. I think especially, you look at last year for the Eagles, how they were able to get all the way to the second round of the playoffs with a catastrophic amount of injuries across the board. I mean, you look at the secondary specifically. You look at the defensive line. You look at safety, Rodney McLeod, losing him for the remainder of the season after week four. You look at the offensive line, Jason Peters coming in and out of the lineup, Brandon Brooks tearing his Achilles in that Saints playoff game. How about running back? I mean, losing Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement. You were using Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood for a large portion of the season. It's great to know who those potential new guys could be, those diamonds in the rough, those unexpected role players, and you learn about those guys right now, throughout the summer, throughout the preseason. It's why I say you should watch preseason games into the fourth quarter, because you're going to want to see players like Josh Sweat and Sharif Miller, Joe Osman. Can those kind of guys replace a Chris Long? How about the third linebacker spot? It's a battle between LJ Fort, Kamu Grugier-Hill, Nate Geary. I would even say the second linebacker spot could be open with Zach Brown newly signed. So I want to bring in my special guest today coming up right after this break. It's Eagles Wire reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter. Great NFL draft analyst, helped us a lot throughout the draft process. He's a big diamonds in the rough kind of guy, big late round gem kind of guy in the NFL draft. So I thought it'd be a perfect time. I think this would be the perfect episode to bring on Andrew DiCecco to talk about some Eagles players that maybe right now you're not expecting to have a big role in the 2019 season, but maybe even if it's out of necessity because of injury, maybe they just play so well in the summer that you have no choice. Who can be the new guys? Who could be the new Cravion LeBlanc? Who could be the new Josh Adams at the middle of the season, right? Or Wendell Smallwood helping out. Who could be the new Trey Sullivan? Or is it going to be Trey Sullivan once again? I want to get into that with Andrew coming up, because last summer, I mean, how many people actually predicted that? How about Trayvon Hester? How many people predicted that Trayvon Hester was going to make the play of the season, tipping Cody Parkey's field goal to send the Eagles into the second round? So I feel like now is a good time, with voluntary OTAs officially getting underway today, to get into potentially some guys that are under the radar right now, or maybe aren't even being talked about at all, that could potentially create bigger roles for themselves than maybe we expect. So that's coming up today on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today's show is sponsored by Untuck It. Dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are so specifically designed to look great. Untucked, and you can feel comfortable in it at work. You don't have to feel uncomfortable, no tucking or tailored requiring. All you got to do is go to untuckit.com, and the promo code is NBA to get 20% off, and that's for all of our Locked On Podcast Network listeners. Go once again to untuckit, untuckit.com, promo code NBA, and you get 20% off. All right, let's get into our interview now with Eagles Wire reporter Andrew DiCecco. Let's get into some late hidden gems that could potentially have a big role for the Eagles in 2019. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, sponsored today by Hotels.com. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. We are now joined by a very special guest, a friend of the show, really great draft stuff, especially the past couple months, going to all those local pro days around the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. He's a big underdog guy, big late round gems, you know, diamonds in the rough kind of person. And that's why I wanted to get him on today's episode, because like I said in the first segment, we're going to talk about unexpected roles you know, players that you really aren't going to expect to really sketch out a big role with this Eagles team, suddenly they do. It happened a lot last year with Cravion LeBlanc, Josh Adams, guys like Wendell Smallwood, Trey Sullivan. So we're joined by Eagles Wire reporter Andrew DiCecco. Andrew, thanks for joining the show, man, once again.
My pleasure, Louie. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you're a big underdog guy, so I think this is the perfect podcast for you. And of course, I mentioned Cravion LeBlanc, a guy that filled in admirably in the slot after all of those cornerback injuries. Him, Rasul Douglas, and Avante Maddox really, really were playing well down the stretch last year. Players in the backfield that really had no choice but to step in. Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood showed some flashes. Travion Hester, defensive tackle, Trey Sullivan. So while these guys kind of played out of necessity, a lot of them flashed legitimate potential that nobody really planned on getting from them last year. Out of all those guys I mentioned, I don't think any of those players, people in the summer or even at the beginning of last season, thought, okay, those guys would itch out, you know, big roles with this team. I mentioned a couple of those guys. I mean, let's look at Trey Sullivan, LeBlanc, Hester. Do you think anyone I mentioned there has a chance at replicating what they did last year, maybe even growing upon it?
Yeah, Trey Sullivan is a player who I've been really high on since they signed him as an undrafted free agent in 2017. You know, he's a Division II guy at Shepherd University. He's been working his way. He's been grinding this whole time. And he's somebody that, you know, we know him for his hitting. You know, he pulled a couple of big hits in that first preseason game against the Green Bay Packers a couple summers ago. But after, you know, kind of spending his rookie season on the practice squad, you know, there's a lot of questions last offseason. Is he going to make the jump to be the third safety? You know, is he ready? And then, you know, all summer he held that role until they re-signed Corey Graham. Then he was relegated to special teams. Then, you know, he had that unfortunate sequence in the opener, and he was put back on the practice squad. And, you know, he worked his way into that role. He played, like you said, he played out of necessity, but, you know, he's a guy that played 220 snaps in 12 regular season games last year, contributing, you know, 17 tackles. And he's one of those guys where they don't make the playoffs without somebody like him and Cravion LeBlanc and Avante Maddox stepping up. And he gave you 87 snaps in the playoffs on defense, and he started the Saints game. So he's a guy that I think will take that experience from last season and carry that over and probably grab one of those coveted roles.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he played better than Corey Graham. I thought down the stretch, much like those other corners, when he finally got, you know, consistent playing time as that third, sometimes second safety, like you said, starting that Saints game, I thought much like Rasul, much like Avante, much like Cravion, he got really comfortable. But like you even mentioned, it's been an interesting career for Trey Sullivan in Philadelphia. High ups, it seemed, in the summer a couple years ago, then, you know, kind of falls off again. And then the same thing last year, he had those expectations. Do you think right now I feel like he's kind of the forgotten man in that third safety race. Everyone's talking about Anderson Dejo, whether it's because they actually think he's going to play or they're going to cut him for a comp pick, or Blake Countess they brought in. Of course, a lot of people like to talk about cross-training these corners, like Avante Maddox, who played safety last year when Roddy McLeod went down. But I don't know about you, Andrew. I feel like right now, if I had to put my money on it, if I'm not moving a corner to safety or as that fourth defensive back that's on the field, I would put my money on Trey Sullivan, truthfully, if he's going to play like he did down the stretch last year once again, over a Dejo, and honestly even over a Countess.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big Trey Sullivan guy, and I believe Nick Foles said it best. You know, you're never more dangerous than when someone's counting you out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you don't hear his name. You hear Blake Countess, you hear Anderson Dejo, but I feel that Trey Sullivan's the most equipped to take that role. And, you know, you saw what he did last year, and I think he's going to carry that over. And I think, you know, he does have that chip on his shoulder. That job was his last offseason until the very end, until they made that call to Corey Graham. And, you know, he had to grind his way into his playing time, and now I don't think he wants to relinquish that a second time.
What do you think? We'll stick in the secondary here. I want to go with defense first, then offense, when we're talking about some of these, you know, under-the-radar gems that could potentially have a bigger role in 2019, maybe much like they did in 2018, or they're the new guys. There could be a new Cravion LeBlanc or a new Trey Sullivan. But I want to stick with here the secondary and go to Cravion LeBlanc. It's an interesting dynamic here with the secondary, this open battle at corner, or at least we think it's going to be open. Of course, Darby and Mills, I'm sure, are going to be the favorites, considering they were the starters when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Cravion's in a tough situation because I feel like he's only someone that I think would have a chance at playing in the slot. And with Avante Maddox, if they're not going to move him at safety, you need that guy on the field. And with how much they've invested in Sidney Jones, I'm curious to see if LeBlanc can even have a chance at playing his way into the starting lineup. I wonder if he's even going to have a chance.
You know, that's one of the most puzzling things when you look at this roster. Where does he fit in? Where do a lot of these guys fit in? Where does your Sidney Jones fit in? And Rasul Douglas and some of the likes of those guys. It's kind of like, you know, like you said, you have to have Avante Maddox on the field. He's a playmaker. Right. You invested a fourth-round draft pick in him. So I think when you look at it, you say, where does Cravon fit? So I think he's going to have some trouble finding the field. I think we'll see the field on, you know, punt coverage, kick coverage initially, and probably that reserve, you know, that backing up Maddox initially in the slot. And, you know, who knows? If you move one of those guys at the end of the summer, maybe Rasul Douglas, maybe, you know, he kind of fights his way into the picture a little bit.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens at the end of this year, because with Jalen Mills as a free agent, with Ronald Darby, I mean, we could see next year, I don't know, maybe Avante Maddox does become that new Malcolm Jenkins, or he's roaming around different positions. You have Rasul, maybe Sidney Jones in the outside, Cravion in the slot. There's just so many different patterns. There's so many different sets of lineups you can have with these corners that I think LeBlanc definitely deserves to be considered with how well he played last year down the stretch. I want to go to one more name that I mentioned before I kind of pick your brain with some other names maybe you're thinking of. Trayvon Hester down inside. Another player that you look at that Texans game, you look at those last three games, right? The game against the Rams, the game against the Texans and Redskins, and then those two playoff games. Another player that really looked like he was getting comfortable, especially in the pass rush game. He's going to be that fourth guy, probably at defensive tackle. I think Hester's actually an exciting name this year.
He is, and, you know, he's somebody the Eagles really like. Obviously, they stashed him on the practice squad and were quick to give him the promotion fairly early on, and he saw his playing time, at, you know, out of necessity. But every time he got his snaps, he made a play. He stopped a run. You know, he was taking on, you know, a double team to free somebody else up to make the play. You know, as the season went on, he started to see his snaps increase, and you know, he kind of took on that role. And you know, you kind of saw him grow, like he did with so many of those guys. You saw them grow with the more experience that they were getting. And like Trey, I think he's going to carry that over next season. And I think you're going to see an even more polished and, you know, NFL ready defensive lineman in Trayvon Hester.
Is there anybody that you're thinking of, too, on the defensive side that we haven't mentioned yet that's kind of right now not really being talked about? It may not seem like there's a spot open for this player, but an injury here or there or a strong summer, you could see this guy, and even if it's not a starter, a big contributor, still someone that's maybe a really solid role player for the team on defense. Is there anyone that's coming to your mind?
Yeah, Deshaun Hall. He was acquired off the Texans practice squad. You know, mm-hmm. He's a 23-year-old kid. He was a former third-round pick, number 77 overall from the Carolina Panthers in 2017. He's on his fourth team now, you know, before he's even turned 24. But, you know, he played in the last three regular season games. You know, he played 16 snaps on defense over those games and 39 on special teams. And, you know, in that Texans game against his, you know, old team, he produced his only NFL stat line, which was three tackles and a half sack, and that was on four defensive snaps for the game. So the guy has ability. I understand if the team likes him, and he's going to have a fair chance to kind of win some of those vacated snaps from Chris Long. So I think he's a guy, you know, you talk about Josh Sweat and Sharif Miller and Joe Osman, but, you know, Deshaun Hall is going to have every chance to win those reps as well.
Yeah, the fourth defensive end spot's really interesting. Howie Roseman has really talked up Joe Osman. Sharif Miller, they took in the fourth round this year. A lot of upside, super explosive off the edge. Josh Sweat, last year, fourth round guy at Florida State. A lot of people said could be the steal of the draft. I mean, those four, I don't know about you, Andrew, I want to get your take. I mean, with Chris Long retiring, are you confident enough in one of those guys, or maybe there's a couple of them that can, you know, be at least semi-productive? With that fourth defensive end spot is going to be different now with Malik Jackson playing defensive tackle. You're probably not going to be moving as many edge guys inside. I mean, what's your confidence level in those four?
Honestly, as of right now, you know, there's a lot of question marks in my opinion. You know, you're an injury away from Vinny Curry taking on major snaps, and Vinny Curry seems to be on the downside. You know, he didn't really show much last year in Tampa Bay. You know, I think losing Chris Long is an immense loss for this team, because now you know, you're looking at a Josh Sweat. He has the most potential out of any defensive end on the roster athletically, but he does have a lengthy injury history dating back to high school. So I think, you know, but as I understand, he got a lot stronger, which he needed to be to hold up against the run. You know, and I have questions about his ability to bend around the corner, but, you know, he is intriguing. You know, he had it not been for an injury, he would have been a higher draft pick last draft. And then, you know, Sharif Miller, as I understand, he's more of a project. He's not ready to contribute just yet. He needs a little bit more polish to his game. Not a real flashy player. He's going to take a little bit of time to marinate. You know, Joe Osman, you know, you look at the front office, they've gone out of their way to praise him on multiple occasions. He's a guy that worked really hard. I had a chance to interview Joe in February, and, you know, he pretty much mimicked Hayward and – or not Hayward, Cam Jordan, and he mimicked – you know, J.J. Watt, and gave, you know, Lane Johnson and Jason Peters all these different looks. And he said, in turn, in doing that, he learned, he added some more pass rushing techniques to his repertoire. So I think he's going to be, and he got a lot stronger this offseason. So he's going to be a guy that'll contend for a spot as well. And then, you know, the aforementioned Deshaun Hall, who I think, you know, looking at his pedigree, being a former third round pick, you know, 23 years old, will be 24 in June. He's a guy right there. So I think there's going to be some competitive battles going on there, but I do think that you need to add a veteran to that mix to at least contend with those guys.
No, that's definitely an interesting point. It's look, the defensive line, it's got a lot of elite talent up top. I mean, I think Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox right now is the best pass rushing 1-2 punch on an interior than the NFL really has to offer. And of course, Brandon Graham still here. I liked what Derek Barnett was doing before he got hurt last year. But yeah, it's kind of like your kind of guys, Andrew, with that fourth spot. It's really any of those guys can really make sure that the Eagles do not go out and get a veteran. It's those guys' jobs this summer and really right now with OTA starting up to convince the team that they don't have to go out and add that veteran talent. Let's move over to the offensive side real quick here. We talked about some running backs, or at least I mentioned them at the start of the segment. Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood. Right now it feels like we kind of know how the depth chart's shaping up, at least with the top three, right? Jordan Howard, Miles right. Sanders. When Corey Clement's healthy, I feel like he is someone they think highly of compared to Smallwood and Adams. Those two are interesting, Adrian. I mean, Adams kind of burst on the scenes in the middle of the season, super efficient, finally became that, you know, lead back in the committee. Then he really tailored off down the stretch. First with Adams, what did you see with him? I don't know, just for me, I think he really was struggling to... It just, I don't know if it was too much bouncing around behind the line of scrimmage, but he really fell out of favor in that rotation, especially when Sproles came back.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Josh Adams, you know, he's 6'2", I believe he's 6'2", 225, but whenever the team needed to get the short yardage, he failed to deliver, and Wendell Smallwood, who's 208 pounds, was the guy that got the first down. You know, you look at that game against the Rams, and I believe Josh Adams had, he was averaging 2.5 yards a carry or 2.7 yards a carry. And Smallwood had 4.8 yards a carry and five crucial first downs and two, you know, really tough physical runs, touchdown runs in that game. So I think that Smallwood gives you, while he's not flashy and doesn't have quite the ceiling that a Josh Adams may have, I think he has more of a well-rounded aspects to his game where he can contribute on special teams, he can catch the ball, both things that Josh isn't as well adept at doing. And I think that, you know, he just has a better feel for the offense.
No, I actually think that's a pretty good point. It's super interesting. Smallwood's kind of the, you know what you have in him. It's kind of what you want with that fourth running back is, do you want that guy that you know on a third and three, he can get those 3 yards for you with that hole? Or is it a Josh Adams where you'd rather maybe go with the flash play, someone that has more upside? But what about the third man here in this fourth running back spot battle? And it's Boston Scott with Darren Sproles gone. I mean, he's kind of the new, I wouldn't say the new Pumphrey, but I feel like Boston Scott's someone that maybe if you want another dynamic running back to kind of replace Darren Sproles, especially with, you mentioned, special teams. I don't know. I think Boston Scott might be an interesting name here too, battling Smallwood and Adams.
He's a dark horse for sure. He, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I got a chance to watch some film on him. He's a very dynamic player, like you said, very quick, you know, quick twitch athlete. He contributes in the, more importantly, he contributes in the kick return game. And that's a rule that, you know, if Sproles doesn't come back, That's a legitimate, you know, area of need. And I think that, you know, Smallwood can do it. We know that. But I think Boston Scott can give you that more, that explosive play, that that, you know, that those splash plays that you're looking for. So he can kind of add some flash to the backfield, I think. And he'll have every opportunity to do that. I think he'll be one of those players that, you know, looking back after the four preseason games, he'll be probably the runner that stands out the most just based on, you know, his speed and the things he can do with the ball in his hand. And, you know, given the players he'll be going against in those games. So, yeah, I think he'll certainly be in contention for one of those spots.
Maybe he's almost like the new Kenyon Barner, right?
Right. That's a very good good comparison.
Yeah, I think that it could be an interesting role that he could create for himself at that fourth spot. It's a definitely interesting one to watch, especially with, you know, Jordan Howard's a free agent next year. These guys have an opportunity to be more than just the fourth running back. If Adams can maybe replicate what he did in the middle of last season and create that on a consistent basis and finally use that size in short yardage situations, because that's really, like you said, what Smallwood has over him right now, then who knows? I mean, Adams still, this is only going to be his second year. I just want to get your thoughts real quick. Oh, no, go ahead, James. Go ahead.
The one thing about Adams, don't forget, is that he's coming off off-season shoulder surgery.
That's right.
So he's going to be slow going into camp, and who knows, he may even start on the PUP list. So he's going to be behind the eight ball. You know, if those guys start to take off and get some traction, you know, he's going to have some ground to make up.
Very good point. Yeah, you got to stay healthy to keep your job. Before we let you go, Andrew, this is an interesting time of year with, you know, especially for the Eagles. With their roster right now, there aren't a whole lot of battles. I think the only real one that is super interesting of note when it comes to starters and legitimate playing time is the cornerback position. And, of course, we'll see if it actually is an open competition. I'm still skeptical that Mills and Darby could be pushed out of those spots. But it's really the only spot I think that is the clear unknown. But at the same time, there's, you know, that fourth defensive end spot. I think that second and third linebacker spot with all those guys battling the third safety spot, how the offensive line depth kind of formulates. What is your thoughts about, I think, the dynamic of an open competition? Because there's other elements involved. It's not always just about, you know, who's the best player on the field in the summer. There's things like proven play in the past. There's potential, you know, like a Sidney Jones, how much a team has invested in a certain guy. Of course, there's the my guys, right? I think some coordinators really favor certain players.
Sure.
How much weight do you think all of that should play versus who just looks the best, you know, in practice and in games?
Well, I've always been a big proponent of let the best player play. You know, competition brings out the best in everybody, you know, and it's ultimately going to make you the best football team. If you're putting the best player on the field in that position, you're going to be the better team, you know, and I think that that's kind of why I gravitate to some of these underdog players so much, because of how hard that they have to work just to get into the NFL and to earn their roles. And I think that some of those guys have a legitimate chance to, you know, to play. And if they're given a fair chance, like I believe they will, they're going to shock some people.
I agree. I think it's something to watch. Andrew DiCecco joining the Locked On Eagles podcast of the Eagles Wire. Andrew, before we let you go, where can we find your stuff? Where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yes, sir. So you can check me out on the Eagles Wire. I'll be covering the team, you know, pretty much everything from now. It'll be a grind all the way through camp and, you know, throughout the season. You know, how all things Eagles related to for everyone. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's ADiCeccoNFL. That's ADiCeccoNFL. And I also have a Patreon page that I kind of put some more exclusive content, some unique Q&As and things like that. That's patreon.com/AndrewDiCecco89.
And I highly recommend you guys go check out his stuff. Once again, really great football analysis. And Andrew, we've enjoyed your work, and we've really appreciated you helping us out. You know, of course, with the Eagles Twitter mock draft throughout the season, it was a crazy off season, and we're excited that it's coming to an end. Thanks for joining the show, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Once again, thank you to Andrew DiCecco of the Eagles Wire for joining us on today's edition of the podcast. Really good stuff. Once again, he's a guy that really likes the underdogs. He likes finding those, you know, late round gems in the draft. He likes finding the guys that are kind of buried on the depth chart that could create a significant role for themselves. And, you know, I think that's why he probably really gravitated towards the 2018 Eagles, because guys like Cravion LeBlanc, guys like Trayvon Hester, you know, Trey Sullivan, those kind of players had significant roles on the team. And once again, it was by necessity because they were so banged up with injuries. But, I mean, look, that's the name of the game in football, and you got to have depth. It's why, you know, the draft is so important. It's why times like right now with voluntary OTAs and training camp coming up in the preseason, it's why you watch into the fourth quarter of those games, because you never know. I mean, once again, who would have predicted that Josh Adams would have played as many snaps at running back as he did last year? Who would have thought that down the stretch, the starting three at cornerback would be Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, and Cravion LeBlanc? You never know, and that's why you always got to be prepared, and you got to have these kind of players that can, maybe they're not always the highest touted guys coming out of college, maybe they're not the ones you expect to have significant roles, but you got to take a look at some of these players, because you never know which one of these guys could potentially save the season for you. I mean, I think Cravion LeBlanc deserves that kind of credit. I mean, you look at that Giants game when he finally got going inside and brought some stability to the cornerback position. I mean, that's huge. Trayvon Hester made probably the biggest play of the season, blocking, or at least tipping, Cody Parkey's double-doink field goal to advance the Eagles into the second round of the playoffs. So, once again, really appreciate Andrew's help. He has been awesome to Locked On Eagles, and great draft cover. So once again, make sure you go follow him on Twitter. Check him out on the Eagles Wire and also his Patreon page. Exclusive coverage. So he's doing some great stuff over there. With voluntary OTAs going, guys, we're going to have a podcast pretty much every day now, as Eagles news is just all over the place. You know, we got continued OTAs talk. We got training camp coming up soon. Then the preseason. Before you know it, I mean, we're in the summer. We're almost into June right now. Before you know it, the NFL season, the Eagle season, will be back underway. We'd like to thank our sponsors once again: Hotels.com, Untuckit.com, and Grip 6 Belt. Once again, thank you to Andrew DeCecco for joining the show today. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. Please subscribe to the show if you're not already. If you could, leave us a 5-star review. We would always appreciate that as well. And follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLoui, at Gino_Loui, and our show page at Locked On Birds. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.